And you remember we noticed that he started with what they were doing well. You're doing this and you're doing that. And then he recognized their struggles. And I know that you're going through this and going through that. And then he ended with saying, but this is what you need to change. This is what you need to stop doing. And so there was some obedience involved in that. And then when Pastor Van spoke, do you remember he spoke about Saul? And Saul obeyed some, but he didn't obey completely. And the Lord wasn't really pleased with that. So today we're going to look at obedience as it relates to the word go. Obedience as it relates to the word go. And that goes right along with our mission. Once a month, you get a blue flyer that reminds you what our missions are as a church. And one of those is going to our communities. That's one of the things we're going after. The other things are there on that list. So that's part of what we're going to talk about today. So then the question is, are you and I obeying Jesus? Well, when you ask a Christian that, they almost always say, well, of course I'm obeying Jesus. Okay. Well, yes, we want to obey Jesus. And Jesus even said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So one of the ways that our love for Jesus can be measured is whether or not we're being obedient to him. Ooh, did you catch that? One of the ways our love for Jesus can be measured is if we're being obedient to him. So is thinking about obeying the same as actually obeying? Is wanting to obey the same as actually obey? So Jesus told a parable about that that I'm going to change into something that maybe you can relate to. So let's say you have three kids. And you go into the three kids and the room they're in is just a disaster. They have toys out everywhere. They have iPads. They're playing video games on the TV. Does that sound like anybody's house? I know it sounds like somebody's house that I visit every now and then. We won't put any names to it. But you as a parent, you go in and you say, okay, listen up. 15 more minutes and I'll be back and I want this room cleaned up. Video games off, iPads put away, toys picked up. Okay? So, child number one is thinking, he doesn't say it because he knows there might be consequences, but he's thinking, no way. And he goes right on playing his video game. Child number two says, sure, Mom. Yep, I'll take care of that. And he's looking down at his iPad. Child number three is thinking in his head, yeah, maybe I'll get to that in a couple of minutes. And he continues to play with the toy. So the parent comes back in 15 minutes. See, you're putting names on who I'm talking to. Yep, see, we had three. We know how it goes, and all three of them think completely differently. So the parent goes back in after 15 minutes, and the child that thought in his mind, sure, Mom, is doing what? Still on the iPad. The one that thought, okay, in a couple minutes I'll do it. Still on the floor playing with toys. But the one who thought, no way, is down on the floor picking up the toys. So who was obedient? The one who said they would obey, the one who thought they would obey, or the one who actually thought, no way, and is actually doing it? See, that was Jesus' parable. Obeying is not the same as thinking about it or even wanting to do it. Obeying is when you actually follow through and do it. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 18. Last three verses in Matthew. Okay? And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So let's dive into this word together a little bit this morning, this command of Jesus. Ready? Oh, my. Pastor Kurt, you're the only one that said, uh-huh. Let's try that again. Are you ready to look at the word together this morning? Okay, that was four people. I'm going to try one more time. Pastor Van, are you ready to look at the word this morning? Okay, Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. So, Jesus said, all authority, not some, not most. So, if Jesus has all authority, who has none? Come on, come on. Come on. The only power the enemy has, now listen, is what you give him by believing his lies. Jesus has all power and all authority. The only power the enemy has is what you give him by believing his lies. What lies? I jotted down a couple. You could probably think of some more. God didn't really mean. Does that one sound familiar? I'm sure when he said do this or don't do that, he didn't really mean my situation. I'm exempt from that. God didn't really mean me or my situation. Number two. God doesn't really love me, like me, or want to spend time with me. You ever think that one? He might have, but after the week I had and the choices I made, I'm not sure. I don't know if God really loves me, likes me, or wants to spend time with me. Third one. Remember, you can come up with a whole list, but just these three for now. I am worthless, unlovable, or a failure. Now, of course, nobody's ever thought that in here. The only power the enemy has is what we give him by believing his lies. For example, that last one. Does God create unlovable, worthless failures? See, if you're saying that's what you are, then you're saying God created you as worthless, unlovable, or as a failure. So how do we counteract those lies of the enemy? How do we get back that power and authority that we gave to him? Well, God only speaks the truth. He can't speak anything but the truth. That means he means what he says, and he says what he means. So if it's in here, it is truth. And the way we contradict the lies is with the truth. So we're going to look at a little bit of truth today that is God speaking, he doesn't lie, and we're going to allow that to contradict some of those lies. In Jeremiah 31, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have drawn you with my love and kindness. Come on. Everlasting love, and I have loved you. So that means he always had, he does now, come on, and he always will. I have loved you with an everlasting love. So when you think to yourself, or the enemy says to you, you're having a horrible week, you made some bad choices, God doesn't really love you. What are you going to counter that way? The truth that says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. He never quits loving you. Never quits loving you. Solomon said, my beloved is mine, and I am his. You are loved. There's no question about it. You are loved. In fact, Jesus said, just as, in other words, in the same way, in the same intensity, in the same never-stopping love that the Father has for me, I have loved you. Now, come on. How much does the Father love Jesus? Jesus said, just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Ooh. Ooh. Love each other in the same way that I have loved you. Jesus also said, you are my friends, for I have told you everything that the Father told me. Say, Andrew, do you like spending time with your friends? Do they like spending time with you? So the truth is, Jesus likes spending time with you, and he's looking forward to you spending time with him. Come on. Come on, you can say amen, yes, good word, Pastor Steve. Yep, whoop, whoop, all those things. So let's not give the enemy any power over us. Let's together reject his lies. Let's choose to believe instead what God has said about you and what God has said about me. David reminded us as he spoke to God. He said, God, you formed me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I am complex and wonderfully made. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. And John said in 1 John, see how greatly, greatly the Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. So these are statements of truth. You are his son. You are his daughter. Father loves you as his son and his daughter. So as greatly loved children, we want to do what pleases him, right? So bringing that back to our message today about obeying the go, we want to obey his instructions and commands. So let's remind ourselves what those instructions and commands are. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Come on, now we're good with believing it up there. Yeah, Jesus has all authority in heaven, but it says he also has all authority on earth. Come on. All authority on earth. Therefore, okay? The word therefore means because of everything that went before, this is what you now need to do. Because Jesus has all authority heaven and on earth, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Wasn't an instruction, wasn't a suggestion, it was an instruction and a command. Are we going to be obedient? He tells us to go. That means not sit. It means not wait for them to come here, but to go there. So to go where and to go to whom? So here's the question for today. I woke up with this morning. I worked on this last week, this week, reviewed it last night, but this morning I woke up with the question, what does your go look like? See, your go is going to look different than mine. Now, it's possible that you're called to go on a missions trip, go on short-term missions, visit another country, but more than likely, your go is going to be to who? Neighbor, co-worker, family member, somebody you run into on the street. So the question is, what does your go look like? What does your go look like? So where did Jesus go? You know, Jesus doesn't tell us to do anything that he didn't do because he said we would do the same works he does and even greater work. So if we look at where Jesus goed, okay, some of my grandkids use that word, where Jesus goed, then we know where we're supposed to go. He began going about from city to city and village to village. What? Now, yes, it does say he went to the tabernacle. Yes, he went to the temple. So we're not supposed to neglect assembling together. But in between going to temple and sanctuary, where did he go? City to city, village to village. So what does your go look like? Where did he send his followers? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me finish the first verse. I jumped ahead. He began going about from city to city and village to village, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So he taught them. He demonstrated for them. He showed them. He was an example to them. Then he sent them out. He called the 12 together. Now listen. And gave them power and authority. See, he had all power and all authority. And he gave us the power and authority that we would need. He gave them power and authority. Over what? Over all the demons and to heal diseases. Come on. Right, Mike? All power and all authority. He gave us the power and authority over all demons and to heal disease. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. We have the same assignment. Same assignment. Not a different one. Same assignment. Well, Pastor Steve, that was the 12 apostles, and they were special. Well, they were special because Jesus chose them, but they were just plain old guys. Laborers, fishermen, tax collectors, even a rebel or two. We don't have any rebels, do we, Pastor? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll let you figure that one out. Okay, so it was just the 12. No. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 and sent them out two by two ahead of him to go to every city and place where he was going to come. Come on, Pastor Kurt. He sent them out ahead of him to go to every village and every city that he was going to come to. It's a little different now because Jesus is no longer in the physical. So when we go to every city, every village, every place, he accompanies us. So we're not going ahead of him. He's going with us, which was in our text. And we'll reread that in a little bit. So we hear, go, 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 sent, sent, sent. I didn't hear a whole lot of stay, 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 or sit, sit, sit. Not a whole lot in there. And we as the church, not just this church, but we as the church have been guilty of sitting, 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 staying, 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 and praying, God, bring them in, bring them in, bring them in. And all along he said, go. Ooh. So are we being obedient? Because we don't want to just start well, we want to finish well. Saul started well, but he didn't finish too well. You were out of the room when I said you reminded us that he only obeyed in part and God was not happy. So we want to finish well by obeying the go. So the question again, what does your go look like? We have some family who may be going to get and bring back. We don't know yet. But those of you that have been praying and wondering, The crew from the Ukraine have made it safely to another country. We can't say what country. But someday it may involve a plane trip to go. So we are to take the power and authority that Jesus gave us and go out into the cities, the towns, the schools, the workplaces to bring his kingdom there. Come on. So what does your go look like? Community, school, workplace, family, neighbors. It was interesting. We had two experiences that got us more connected with our neighbors. One was COVID, because we weren't going anywhere else. You know, I'd get up in the highway to go down and check on Mother, and I'd be like the only car in the highway. I'd get the whole way to Carlisle and see one other car. I'm like, well, I'm enjoying the less traffic, but not the reason for the less traffic. But it did mean I was home more and out in the yard more and taking the dog for walks more and saying hello to my neighbors more. And then they took out the bridge at the bottom of our road where it goes over a little stream. And they said, they alerted all of us and said, it's going to take 4 weeks probably. 12. For 12 weeks to get to our house, we had to go up the mountain, over the mountain, down the mountain, and then finally home. And when we left, we had to do the opposite. So that meant there was no traffic except some people who either can't read or chose to ignore the sign that said road closed ahead, local traffic only. And the tractor trailers would come down and say, oh yeah, the road is actually closed, and turned around in our neighbors' yards, tore up their yards, knocked down their hedges. We would hear them in the middle of the night because some of them, instead of doing that, backed the whole way up the mountain. So you'd hear the whole way up the road all night long. So finally, the neighbors all got together, called the township. They put up a sign, and it now said, bridge out ahead. Still came down. But what that meant was all the neighbors every weekend walked down to see where the bridge construction was. I talked to neighbors I've never talked to. Some I've just waved to. Now some of them go by and beep and wave. I'm like, thank you, Lord. You know, it was an inconvenience. It was not something I would want to repeat, either of those situations. But it did make us more connected to some people we weren't before. So let's not lose that connection. And maybe that is part of what your go looks like. We are to take the power and authority that Jesus gave us and go. All right, so quick review. We have 3 points today. Elam would be very happy because when you go to Bible school there, they teach you 3 points is the best way to do it. Most people can leave remembering 3 points, and you can adequately present 3 points and not overwhelm everybody. So some weeks I have 5 or 6, some weeks I have 2. When Pastor Steph first came back from Bible school, she had 12. And I'm like, okay, Pastor Steph, if you have 12, just let me know. And you can do 6 1 week and 6 the next week. But 12, even this guy who loves lists and facts cannot remember 12. Okay, I can do maybe 6, but we only have 3 today. You ready? If you're taking notes. Number 1, Jesus was given all authority, and he has given us power and authority. Jesus has been given authority, and he has all authority. Jesus has been given all authority, and he's given us power and authority. See, we don't go out and do the go on our own power, our own strength, our own knowledge, even our own training. We go out with his power and authority. Number 2, we are to go with that power and authority out into our community. We are to go with that power and authority out. Number 1, Jesus was given all authority, and he has given us all power. He has, try it one more time. Jesus was given all authority, and he has given us power and authority. Number two, we are to go with that power and authority out into our communities. And then number three, go therefore and make disciples. Now, I might stir some feathers up, but he didn't say, go and win souls. Now, does making disciples involve that? Well, absolutely. You can't disciple somebody who's not saved. But he didn't say, go and save souls. He said, go and make disciples. Okay, well, Pastor Steve, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, making a disciple takes time, it takes investment, and it takes a relationship. See, you don't have to have a relationship to get somebody saved. But you do to make a disciple. He said to go and make disciples, teaching them. Teaching them. So I thought that meant bring them into the church and let the pastors make the disciples. You know, I think you just added a phrase into the Great Commission there. I don't think that's in any translation that I have. Go and win souls and bring them back to the church for the pastors to make disciples. So that means that's all of us. Come on. So that means we're, now not that the church can't do their part. That's part of the reason we're here. That's why we have spiritual growth classes. That's why we have men's study and fellowship group and ladies' study and fellowship group and men's breakfast. And that's why we have Reverend Jeff and Nancy coming, and Pastor Robert and Linda coming. But that we still are to do our part to save, heal, restore, deliver, and teach. Come on. Is that right, Pastor Kurt? So that's just not my job. It isn't. Whew! Wow, I'm glad to find that out. So to make disciples, that involves working at it and raising up disciples. What's a disciple? Okay, my Greek dictionary tells me the word that's used for disciple here means a learner, a student, somebody who wants to grow and mature. That means they don't want to stay the same. So you can share Christ with somebody. They can accept the Lord, and yes, their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but are they growing and maturing? Are they becoming disciples? Someone who wants to grow and mature, not stay the same as they have been. And it takes two commitments. It takes a commitment on their part, but it also takes a commitment on your part. Checking in with them, giving them permission to call you when they have questions, sending you an email, I just read this in the Word and I don't quite get it. Can you help me with this? It involves a commitment on their part and on your part. All right, so wrapping up and heading toward communion. We want to finish well, just not begin well. And we want to demonstrate our love for Jesus by obeying Him. So what did He command? He commanded us to go, to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to follow all of my commands. And then what did he say at the end? I love the way he ended. Remember, I am with you always. As you go, I am with you. As you make disciples, I am with you. As you advance my kingdom, I am with you. As you share the gospel, I am with you. As you go out, I am with you. So we're going to end with, what does your go look like? That's the phrase I want you to leave with today. What does your go look like? Okay, so we're going to get ready to do communion.